thing in the prayer meeting a while ago. I trust that as we progress along the way today, we will experience great manifestations of God's love and mercy to us. It's grand to know that Christ is sufficient for our needs, whatever they may be, whether they be personal or domestic or ecclesiastical. He's sufficient. And the thought that I've been trying to develop since I've been here, the message is that what is needed today among us is attractive Christianity. And I'm not talking about dressing it up with good clothes and a lot of jewelry. But that type of Christianity that's contagious, that attracts the beauty of Jesus Christ radiated in the life of the individual. A thing that has more effect than any powerful message that is preached. A life that is lived in the power and dynamism of the Spirit of God. Excited Christianity. We need to be excited about our Lord Jesus Christ these days, especially those of us who are in the assemblies. I believe one of the reasons why so many people are attracted to the charismatics is because if you've seen them and watched them on television as I have seen them, they seem to be overexcited about their faith in Christ Jesus. And I believe the Lord has only given them the blessings of God and the blessings of the Spirit of God, but He's also given them to us. And we should make use of these blessings as they come to us. Enjoy them as God has given them to us. And one way that we can do that is to have our water pots filled to the brim, running over with the blessings of God. That is what attracted my attention to this passage of Scripture. We've lost a good much of our joy in our Christian life and our experience today. Many of God's people are living defeated lives. And defeated people can't say amen and shout hallelujah. We try to sometimes, and you can always tell, we try to force it. You know, it doesn't come out instantaneously as the Spirit of God moves us and motivates us. And one reason, I believe, is because we're dabbling in mediocre Christianity. Our pots are not full. We're standing by idly. But as I've looked into this message, the consolation is that Jesus Christ is present. As a matter of fact, you'll find Him throughout the miracles of John's Gospel. And wherever there was a need, Jesus Christ met that need. And I believe that's the reason and the purpose for so many of us being here this morning. There's a need in our lives. There's a need in our personal lives. Our water pots need to be filled. The water pots of our church life needs to be filled. A good many of us are just making the rounds. We're not truly inwardly, neither outwardly impacted by what we believe anymore. Someone has said our beliefs should really govern our behavior for our Lord Jesus Christ. And as people see us and as they watch us, because it's true that we live in a Christian environment here in these Bahama Islands, but I found this, that we've got a lot of educated religious sinners in our country today, and you can't pull the wool over their eyes. like you think you could. Those people know what a Christian is. They know what real Christianity is about. They know when a Christian is exuberant about his faith in Jesus Christ. They can see it not so much by the words that fall from their lips or by raising of hands as we have a lot of it today, but by that quiet living out of Jesus Christ in the life. And in John's Gospel, chapter 2, Jesus' mother says to the folk there at the wedding, "You just stand by and wait." They came to her and they said, "They have no wine." And think of it, my dear brothers and sisters. A wedding is the highest form of enjoyment we can have in this human life. God has given it to us, marriage, the beginning of our marriage life and the taking of the wedding vows, our commitment to each other. It's the apex of a person's experience in this life. And at that particular time, a cry goes out, and it's that there's no wine, there's no joy. No joy at a wedding? Who would ever think of such a thing? That's what happened back there in that day. There was no joy. There was consternation. There was embarrassment. There was defeatism. And the rumors began, and the sip-sipping began. And the mother of Jesus, Mary, she got a hold of it. And they said to her, "There's no wine. We're out of wine." And she said to them, after she spoke to Jesus, "Whatever he saith unto you, do it." In other words, there's got to be obedience. I don't know what Jesus is going to say. I don't know what he's going to demand of you or expect of you. But I know this much. Something great is going to happen. You just stand by and wait for the words that shall fall from his lips. And whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And after a while, our Lord Jesus Christ begins to work, passing by and looking around. He sees something that he could work with. Something that could solve the problem of the moment, the situation, that could brighten it up, that could bring joy to it. The Lord Jesus Christ sees these water pots sitting by, used for the cleansing of the Jews, the guests. And right away, he recognized in them usability and availability. They could be used. Jesus saw them standing by, and he said, "Fill them up." He didn't tell them to fill them up to the brim. He just said, "Fill them up." Brother, sister, I don't know what you've got to offer today, but I know this much. Jesus sees you, and he sees something in you that he can use to brighten up this old world of ours in which we live. Because what is needed today is excited Christianity. We're going to have to be excited about our Lord, excited about our faith in Jesus Christ, excited about what we believe, excited about our Christian life, our Christian witness, and also, most of all, excited, praise God, about the blessed hope that we have as God's people in the world today. Hope is gradually weaning in on the national and international horizon. But we have a hope that's blessed, that's lively, that's genuine, that's sure. That should brighten up our Christian life. And so he said, "Fill those water pots." The Bible says, they filled them to the brim. And he saith unto them, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. And when the ruler tasted it, He recognized something different, something strange. He never experienced it before. And right away he began to talk about it. That's what we want here in Spanish Wells. That's what we want here in the Bahama Islands. Of course, there's a lot of talk about Christianity. I mean, plenty of it today. Faking it. But there's nothing of a factual nature that affects us. Oh, yes, emotionally, Bahamians are moved. But we're talking about that type of Christian experience that is genuine and that revolutionizes your life as a child of God. Your personal life. That revolutionizes your home life, your domestic life. Brother, I tell you, domestically, we're on the rocks. Our homes are disintegrating. And do you know that one of the greatest mission fields in the world today is not to be found in Africa or India or Asia or South America? The greatest mission field today is right here in our homes. And when the homes fail, the church is going to fail. And when the church fails, the country is going to fail. If we can get our homes going right, we'll get the church going right. We'll get the country going right. We've got to fill these water pots up. There's a part that we have to play. Now, God is going to do His part, but we must meet His requirements as His people. It's not enough for us to sit down like a bump on a log and expect that we're going to be filled. There's something that we must do. We must open up our hearts, our lives, like the flower, to accept all the sunshine of God's grace and God's love. And then when we do our part, there's no doubt about it, the Lord is going to do His part. And there are several stages, as I said, as with regards to the presentation. Yesterday, there's the pouring out stage. And the pouring out was not commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ until the water pots were full. Christ Jesus would never expect of you to go out, to witness, to live, to do anything for Him until you are spiritually qualified to do it. He would never use you. He would never use your personal life and your personal experience. He would never use your home life. And He would never use you in your church life until you are spiritually ready. In order for us to be ready, we're going to have to be subservient to all that God has for us in His precious Word. There's the pouring out stage. Fill the water pots. That's the command. And that's the command that comes to us here at this conference. That's the command that comes to us every day of our lives. Now, I want to say this to you. If you are giving out, you're going to have to be filled all the time, continually. The problem with a good many of us is that we're still scraping the bottom. And then the problem with a good many of us, too, is that we don't have anything to give out because we aren't full. We're content with what we are. We're content with the kind of a progress that we made yesterday. But Christianity is a progressive religion. It's a progressive experience. What I am today will not suffice for tomorrow. I must go farther and farther and deeper into the mind and the will of God. There is that aspect of Christianity that goes beyond the cross-wake experience of our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It goes beyond the cross. At the cross, yes, it was there that we first saw the light. But then there is that life beyond the cross. We must explore our Christianity. We must get to know what it's all about. We must know what we have in Jesus Christ if we're going to share it with others. It must dominate our lives. It must control our lives. And we're not going to be able to do it if we are mediocre in our outlook and concept of Christianity. Jesus says, fill them up. We go to the gas station and the attendant says, how much? You've got the money, you've got a good credit, then you say, fill her up. That means going on a long journey. That means you're going to give that car all that is needed, all that is necessary to perform properly, to help you to go places, to do the things that you want to do. And you've come here this morning. I believe that's the reason and the purpose for the prayer meetings here at the conference. We begin each morning. We've been giving out. Many of us are exhausted. Many of us are tired. But now we've just got up. We had a good night's rest. This is going to be a long day. We don't know what the end is going to be. We don't know what the experiences are that are coming to us. But we know this much, that we've come here to this gas station of prayer time, and Jesus says, fill them up. And as you prayed, I trust that your prayer was, Lord, fill me to the brim. Feed me till I want no more. Satisfied Christianity is contagious Christianity. It affects. It speaks loudly and powerfully in these uncertain and difficult times in which we live. And I feel that that's the great need of the hour. And if you're full, brother, sister, if I'm full, I really believe that a good many of these petitions, yea, all of these petitions, will be answered today. Because, as I said, there's our part. We're going to have to pray these people into the kingdom of God and saturate them. Because I'm going to tell you right now, a person that is saved by God's grace and who before was hung on drugs and dope, they need prayer, they need encouragement, because like alcoholism, you don't really get rid of that thing. That's in your system. I was speaking to a man some time ago. I saw him sitting on a bench on Montague Beach and witnessing to him, and he said, yes, Brother Allen, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord is my Savior. But he says, I've got a hard time. I was on alcohol, and I was on drugs. And he said, I suppose you've heard this saying, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. He says, that's in your system. And I've got to keep close to the Lord. And the person that is saved by God's grace, and you know an individual in this community, who's hung on those things, alcoholism and also drugs, they give their hearts to Jesus Christ, they need extraordinary attention. They need prayers, and not so much just prayers, but also counseling, continual help. I know some fine fellas who professed faith in Jesus Christ, and they have a strong desire to go on for the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're fighting an uphill battle. I pray for them. I sympathize with them. Because they're meeting up with mounting experiences and barriers in their life that I will never be able to meet up with because I don't know anything about those things. And so they need my help. And the only way that I can help them is when I am full and they see the beauty of Jesus Christ radiating out of my life. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all His wonderful passion and purity. And when that beauty is seen radiating out of my life, it becomes contagious. I reflect the glory, the majesty, the beauty, the magnificence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fill them up. And now there is the pouring out. You cannot be poured out. There will never come in your experience the command to draw out until you've been filled up. We can think about it. We can expect it. We can hope it. But there is nothing like when we are full of the blessings of God. Now those water pots stood there, partially empty. But when they filled them up, a miracle will take place in your life. If you never prayed before, then you'll have a desire to pray. The water pot of your personal Christian life will take on true and real meaning as a child of God. You're not only redeemed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ as it impacted your life and as you were saved by God's grace, but now your desire is continually to be renewed in the spirit of your mind as a child of God. We can say a lot of things here, but I want to just touch on this one because I think this is very important. What is needed today among us as God's people when we are filled with the Word of God, when we are filled with Jesus Christ, my brother, my sister, it's going to affect our personality. And that's what's needed today. There is nothing like coming into contact with a person who has a bad, sour personality. And Christianity, Christ in the heart, Christ in the vortex of the soul, changes and impacts your personality for the glory of God. You've got a different mind, a different attitude. A different attitude towards your husband, a different attitude towards your wife, a different attitude towards your children, a different attitude towards the people with whom you work, a different attitude towards the people with whom you worship and fellowship. A person who is a Christian cannot have a personality that's distorted and ineffective for our Lord Jesus Christ. The great test of the Christian faith today is seen in not how well you can sing, not how good one can preach, not how consistent a person is in church attendance, not about how many people or children, I suppose, a person can have in a family, or what the income of that family is. The thing that impacts a person's life and affects a person, my friend, is the personality, the attitude. If Christ is in your personality, He's going to rejuvenate you. He's going to renew you. And you're going to be a different person. And that's where the Spirit of God comes. When He comes into the life, the moment you profess faith in Jesus Christ, the work of God, the Spirit, begins in your personality, making you a different person. So you know how to get along with people. Some people are cantankerous, difficult, critical, moody. All these things, my friends, are characteristics of the flesh. Most certainly the art of the Spirit. The characteristics of the Spirit are joy and a peace and long-suffering, a beautiful life, a beautiful personality in which our blessed Lord Jesus Christ lives and dwells. I really believe that we need to get that water pot full today. Jesus says, pour it in. I want to be well-groomed as a child of God. And I'm not going to get that by attending some going to some cosmetician or to some beauty parlor or anything like that. I'm going to have to get that in the Word of God. The Word of God grooms me and fits me for the challenges of life as they come. I'm able to accept them and to face them resolutely and firmly and confidently in the Spirit of God. And now the command comes to us. Draw out. Now. That's it. A person who's full of the Lord and has caught a vision of what real practical Christianity is cannot be the same any longer. He moves. He sings. He prays. He demonstrates and practices his Christianity and affects him in every area and aspect of his life. From his church life to his home life to his business life. And I was noticing the other day going through the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, that there are about six ways, maybe seven ways, that a person can make shipwreck of his life today in the world. And I jotted them down. I want to pass them on to you. You can make shipwreck in your personal life. That's 1 Timothy 1, verses 18 and 19. I think I'm going to read them because they're very important. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. You can make shipwreck of your personal life as a child of God. Also, you can make shipwreck of your church life. That's chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, departing in from the faith. And then again, there's your domestic life, chapter 5 and verse 8. But any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Then there's the social life, verses 12 and 13. Having damnation because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. The social life, your business life. Chapter 6 and verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Then, of course, there's the intellectual life. Many of them are making shipwreck of their life today in this area. Chapter 6 and verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babbling, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. The faith, the faith. These water pots, the six of them, they must be filled if we're going to touch our society, if we're going to impact our environment for our Lord Jesus Christ. And the command is, draw out when everything is ready. Then Jesus says, draw out and do it now. Goes to show the urgency of the situation. And if we don't hurry up and do it now, I fear that many of the opportunities that we have in these Bahama Islands are going to slip away from us. our country is in a terrible condition, morally and socially and religiously. Oh yes, there are lots of churches. Almost on every corner, and also between the corners. You find a church here and a church there and a church here and a church there. And preachers and ministers galore. But we aren't touching our community. There's that moral drift. There's that social drift. There's that intellectual drift. And all of this is a result, my brothers and my sisters, because we who are Christians are only content with what we have and that we're going to have when there's more to it than that. Because if God was interested in saving us just to take us to heaven, then he would have done that the moment we believed and trusted in Christ. And that would have been so much better. But he left us here for a purpose and a reason. We are his ambassadors and we are his representatives. Now a miracle took place. And that miracle was the talk of the occasion. Everybody talked about it. You see, people like to see something different. People like to see some kind of movement. Man at heart is a curious individual or creature. He's inquisitive. He's investigative. I want to know what it's about. That's what happened during the Welsh Revival. People went everywhere. I said, they came from everywhere to experience it for themselves. That's what happened over 20 odd years ago right here in Spanish Wells. The revival broke out and people came from the mainland and were saved. And people came from Nassau and were saved. It became contagious. Something happened. Something out of the ordinary. It attracted it. The miracle. That's what everybody talked about. Taste this thing. This is something. This is real. This is genuine. And it was the talk of the occasion. And whenever God does something, and whenever God's people are obedient to him, and whenever God's people are under the control and might and power of the Spirit of God, things happen, and people see it, and then people talk. And that's better than any evangelistic service or preaching. I've seen it. I've watched his life. I've watched the revolution that has come to his life, and that has affected me. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm saved. And it benefited everyone. Every single solitary individual at that wedding feast benefited from that miracle that day. Because the water pots were full at the command of Jesus Christ. And I must say this to you. I don't care how much water those folk had put into those pots. Unless Jesus Christ had something to do with it, it wouldn't amount to anything. See, Jesus Christ, you've got to have him in the center of your water pot life. In the center of your personal life. In the center of your domestic life. In the center of your church life. The tragedy is, in our home life, we've gone without Jesus. In our personal life, we're content with only what we were able to accomplish yesterday. We don't read the Word of God as we used to. We're too busy to have our devotions. And then, not only that, but and I thank God for our daily bread and all the other pamphlets that assist us with our devotions. We pick them up and we hurriedly read them through and we content ourselves that we've had our devotions, but we spend very little time in the Word itself. And that's where the wine takes place. That's where the miracle takes place. And Jesus is going to have to be right there. I'm going to close with this. Two things. The water and the wine. The water speaks of the cleansing of the Word, and the wine speaks of the joy of the Spirit. And for effective biblical worship, it has to be a proper mixture of the Word and the Spirit. If not, we get a cold dead orthodoxy on one hand and an ultra-emotionalism on the other. And that's what we're experiencing in Christendom today. The letter is killing, yes. You cannot have, my brothers and my sisters, just the word. You've got to have the proper mixing of the word with the spirit, and you just can't have the spirit. That's the trouble with the charismatics. You've got to have the word, the proper balance. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The word, the two must go together. And when they go together, then you've got real good worship. But if you emphasize the word, you're going to get a cold, dead, lifeless kind of theology. If you emphasize only the spirit, you're going to get a lot of emotion. And I'm not against emotion, because I'm going to tell you right now, worship is emotional. But when the two come together and blend together effectively, you're going to get the real kind of worship that magnifies and glorifies the Lord our God. May the Lord speak to our hearts this morning. May we be filled, running over, so that people can know something about it. And let me say this to you as I close. There's enough for everyone here at the wedding feast today. Get in there and enjoy yourselves, because Jesus is here. And he said, draw out. So there must be something for you too. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of being here this morning. And our Father, we pray that each of us, every single person, will be spiritually groomed by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, so we'll know how to have our worship enhanced and blessed of you today. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray.